Okay, thank you so much for that introduction. So my presentation today is focused on a qualitative study that I conducted in Nigeria amongst young women aged 18 to 24-year-olds, looking at the barriers that they face in accessing reproductive health services. So before I proceed, I would like to acknowledge my research team. Dr. Spicer is my academic advisor and a co-PI on this project, and Mr. Akiode was very instrumental in the data collection phase. This project is funded by the Center for Global Initiatives at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and I have no relationships to disclose. So Nigeria is the second highest contributor to the global maternal mortality, with about 40,000 maternal deaths in 2013 alone. And most of these deaths are easily preventable with increased use of reproductive health services, but many women do not use these services available to them, especially the most the vulnerable populations, such as the youth, the urban poor, the rural residents, and those displaced internally by civil unrest. So this slide shows the proportion of women of reproductive age who use these services, select reproductive health services in Nigeria. The data is from the most recent demographic and health survey in 2013. The blue bars show the proportions of use amongst all reproductive age women, so those aged 15 to 49, while the orange bars shows for the adolescents aged 15 to 19. And you can see that across all the services, the utilization rates are suboptimal for all women, and there are also some age disparities, as you can see that the younger women are less likely to use these services. So with the global urbanization, Nigeria is no different. About 50% of the Nigerian population live in urban areas, and 80% of urban residents live in slums. And many of these slum residents are very poor. They are young. They are usually the young people who move from rural areas to the urban areas looking for employment opportunities. And with these whole, the intersection of all these risk factors, these urban residents are said to be not to have the urban advantage that we usually talk about when we try to compare the rural and urban areas. So this has led to their limited access to basic amenities, including reproductive health services. So just to give you a little context, Nigeria is a West African country, and Abuja is the capital city, is the first planned city in Nigeria. And in the second picture, the lines show the part of the city that is planned, but just outside the cities are the informal settlements that are sprouting up because of the very high cost of housing in the city. So these informal settlements, for example, Karu and Nyanya, which were the communities where I conducted my study, have a lot of the people, young people that work in the city but that cannot afford to live in the city, live in these informal settlements that can call slums. So for my study, I wanted to understand why women are not using the reproductive health services available in the facilities in the communities that they live in. And I conducted in-depth interviews with 30 young women aged 18 to 24-year-olds using a semi-structured interview guide. I recruited them through convenience sampling, and they were eligible to participate based on their age and having lived in those communities for at least 6 months, so that at least they would have experienced some of the barriers that we discussed. And then they gave their informed consent to be able to participate. And then I asked them questions about their knowledge and use of reproductive health services, some of the challenges that they faced, and ways they thought that we could improve their use of reproductive health services. And this study was approved by UNC and the IRB committee in Nigeria. So all the interviews were audio taped, transcribed, and imported into AtlasCI for analysis, and I used an inductive approach to my data analysis using memorizing narrative summaries and thematic analysis. And then I also had a short survey of their demographic factors, which I described using STATA. So this is a distribution of my study respondents, and as you can see, I had more women who were aged 20 to 21, and then most of them had secondary education, and most of them had lived more than 10 years in these communities. So three main themes emerged in my data. One of them is youth pregnancy, for which they would have sought family planning, antenatal delivery, postnatal and post-abortion services. And also they talked about reproductive tract infections and sexual assault, for which they would have sought prevention, counseling, and treatment services. So going more in depth into the youth pregnancy, the women talked about the intentionality of the pregnancies, where they talked about the unmarried youth having the youth pregnancy being unintended at the time, although some of the married women also talked about some of their pregnancies being unintended. And they discussed that the determinants were due to early marriage and having unprotected sex. And some of them sought family planning, antenatal delivery and abortion services, but faced some barriers in doing those. And one of the main things that they talked about was the negative provider attitudes. So for example, some women talked about when they went for family planning methods, they were denied based on their young age, and some of the providers were very judgmental, thinking that they shouldn't be having sex if they were not married. And then some of the married ones didn't go back for antenatal care because of the long waiting hours. So they described going to the facilities at about 6 a.m. in the morning and leaving about 6 p.m. And they have businesses that they have to attend to, and because of that, they never went back. And sometimes they never even saw a provider. And one peculiar thing about my study is that they didn't talk about cost and distance as a problem, because this is an urban area, so they have facilities within practically every street, but just that they couldn't go to those facilities because of some of these other barriers that they faced. So this is an example. This quote is from Aisha. She's a 23-year-old Muslim lady who talked about how she got married young. She didn't want to get married, but her mother and her now husband promised her that she was going to remain in school. So she got married, but got pregnant right after then, so had to drop out of school. And then she talked about the barrier she faced in trying to seek family planning services after the first pregnancy, where the nurse insulted her, saying that why did she get married if she wasn't ready to have children. And then she also talked about how after her second pregnancy she went for injections but had to wait very long hours at the facility. So after that first injection she never went back, and she was pregnant at the time of this interview with her third pregnancy. So you can see how just this woman faced all the barriers that she had faced in trying to seek reproductive health services. And we also tried to ask them some of the solutions that they thought would be necessary, and they all talked about provider training, which they felt that the providers should be taught how to treat young women and also how to treat women faster so that they don't have to wait those long hours at the facilities. Another topic they brought up was the prevalence of reproductive tract infections, which were either from the poor hygiene in the slums, resulting in toilet infections, which is what they called it, or from sexually transmitted infections. And they talked about overcrowding and having multiple sexual partners as the determinants of these infections. And interestingly, none of them went to the clinic to seek care. They all went to the chemist stores to buy over-the-counter drugs. And in Nigeria, you can buy practically every drug over the counter. So, and these have implications for drug resistance. And they will say that they will ask their older sister or their friend who will tell them the drug to buy, and they go to the chemist and get the drugs. They acknowledge that these drugs are not very effective. So they talked about the high cost, because they have to take multiple doses of the drugs for it to be effective. So in this situation, cost was a problem for the young girls. And then the reason why they didn't go to hospital was shame. They felt that they couldn't trust the doctors not to tell their parents that they had these infections, or maybe that the doctors will have, will just believe that they got the infection from having sex. So they just didn't want to discuss with the doctor. They don't trust that the doctors will be confidential about their encounter. So that was some of the barriers that they faced. And this is an example of one of my respondents, Mary, a 19-year-old. She talked about how, because of the way the reproductive tract of the women is, that more young girls are very prone to have infections from using the common toilet. She talked about 20 people using one toilet in her compound, and how you can catch the infection from using such unclean toilet facilities. And then she talked about going to the chemist first whenever she had such infections. And because she doesn't want to deal with nurses in the hospital, looking at her as if she's wayward or anybody discussing some of her private issues. And some of the suggested solutions was that they all talked about that the government should come in and build more toilet facilities for them, improve their housing conditions. And then one big thing that also came up in my data was sexual violence. And it was rape, which occurred from either by someone they know or someone they didn't know. So they talked about rape being very common, and interestingly, they didn't blame the young men. They said that it was due to frustration in the communities. So they don't know that it's due to their raging hormones. They're all frustrated, and unfortunately, they're taking it out on the girls. And none of them felt that the boys couldn't. They all felt that the boys couldn't control themselves, and that was the problem. And unfortunately, none of the girls who had been raped in my study sought any care. They didn't go to hospital because they felt that they would be stigmatized, blamed for putting themselves in the situation that got them sexually abused. And they didn't trust that, they didn't have confidence in both the health and judicial systems. So that was the reason why they didn't seek care. So Evelyn is a 20-year-old university student who was raped by her neighbor. She talked about how she had known this man for practically all her life, and because her parents couldn't afford her school fees, he offered to pay the school fees, and she was happy. She went in to see, to collect the money, and the guy wanted something in return, and eventually raped her, but she couldn't even tell anybody because she felt that her mother would disown her, which was something that the girls talked about, that whenever you're raped and you tell your parents, they may throw you out of the house for disgracing the family. So, and the suggested solutions that they gave was to provide more job opportunities for the young men so that at least they wouldn't be frustrated to act out on the young girls. So the key messages for my presentation today is that young women in urban poor areas have limited access to reproductive health services. They face many challenges, including stigma, shame, negative provider attitudes, and some of the things that we're still thinking about solutions to improve access in these communities, and we're thinking about training providers on how to support, counsel and support young women, and also maybe educational interventions in the schools, or having community awareness programs, or even talking about it in the media just to raise these issues up so that the community will know that this is a problem that the young women are facing.